This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Now, this is not Lizette Shear's first rodeo on BFM, but today she's here on Her Vantage to speak to us about all her many entrepreneurial hats and how Nala Designs has grown and shifted since its inception in 2008. So 10 years, congratulations. Now, maybe what we want to do is just start off with your how you got started in design and how this evolved into Nala Designs. For those who don't know the story behind Lizette.
Well, it started 10 years ago, and I think it was in a downtime, so it was between Christmas and Chinese New Year. I had nothing to do, something that I cannot imagine now. And a friend of mine said, well, why don't you set up or start your own brand and design a box of stationery? So actually the brand started with just one box of ang pao, and we did that for about 3-4 years. I just made a few cards, so never we had nothing to do at the agency. We just made another card, and then from cards we went to pillows, then to bags, then the clothes was also just an experiment. I had no idea that it would work, and my agent in France was like, no, don't do clothes. Nobody's interested. Everyone just wants home stuff.
Right.
So I said, never mind, I'm doing it anyway, and it was a huge success in Paris. And now the rest is history.
Okay, and I've been following your story, right? I remember the envelopes, and I can't believe it's been 10 years. Because I think I got the envelopes, and I've evolved with your journey as well. Now, you then did a lot of things. You had F&B, drink, or people thought it was Dr. Inc., and also doing the night markets and things like that. How did this all come about?
Yeah, we had the agency, of course, Lizette and Inc., or Link. And then when I acquired the space downstairs, I opened a shop, actually, a Nala shop. That was the first one. And when I decided to take a break, I found someone to run our shop. And he said, well, let's bring a coffee machine. I said, sure. So the coffee was super successful. And then before we knew it, we were number one in timeout. And then the restaurant was open. So it was completely accidental. But it was a turning point because that's when Nala actually started to grow, as it was our first shop.
Right.
And then after that, I went to Paris. So before you knew it, I had three companies. So the agency, the restaurant, and Nala. And it went so fast that I basically didn't really have time to think about, can I do one without the other? And they were all interdependent because we opened the Kampong House and we had the market. And then we had the restaurant that was, the Kampong House, the shop. Then we had Bangsar Village that opened, and it just we literally grew 500% in 2 months. So it was impossible to do, actually, but because I was doing it and in the middle I couldn't just stop,
right?
Because they were all, people were coming to the restaurant because they liked the brand, they were coming to the shop and they wanted to have a coffee afterwards, and then they wanted to see more, so they would go to Bangsar Village.
Okay.
It was a really tough time.
Tough and exciting, right?
Yeah.
And I've been to the Kampong House as well. You're still continuing with that, stopping with that?
No, I stopped that because it was also in my search to build a good team and to accommodate everyone. My team found it difficult to work in a shop, run a company or run the business, the wholesale business, and run a shop. So I was away a lot last year. The house wasn't taken care of. So I said, okay, you know what? I'll compromise. We'll stop the Kampong House. And I swapped my house with the Kampong House. So I now work in my house and live in the Kampong House.
Okay.
But the sad thing is it's made no difference.
Right.
So we're opening the Kampong House again in a couple of months with a permanent factory outlet. So the barn will become a shop.
Right.
Probably with a small tea house in it as well. And the house will remain closed, out of respect for my daughter. She wants her privacy. But the barn will be open again. It made no difference.
Okay. No, when you do all these things, right, these are brilliant marketing ideas, right? And when you do these things, do you put on the business hat? Do you put on, or do you put on, this is what Malaysia would love. What do you do?
It's both. It's everything combined. So I'll never come up with an idea that I think wouldn't be successful.
Mm.
The only issue I have is probably I'm so fast. I'll have an idea up and running in no time, but then I don't have the people.
Right.
So that's my weakest point, I suppose, is okay. My HR. Yeah.
And people don't see what happens behind the scene, the operational stuff, because I just see the pretty stuff. And what goes on behind that? What have been challenges behind building the brand that people don't know of?
It's the stock. So your stock count and your warehouses and staff, you know, promoters, styling.
Mm.
There's so many aspects when it comes to retail, and it's nonstop. Mm. So you're working nonstop. You know, I sleep, I go to bed at 2 a.m. every night. I wake up at 6 because my daughter wakes up at 6. So I have to be out of my bed. I try. And it's just everything is challenging because you're always late.
Right.
You know, you have your timelines. And then I think in Asia, it's even more challenging than in Europe because we have Chinese New Year, we have Deepavali, we have Hari Raya. You
yes.
know, Christmas is not even over yet.
Yeah.
And we're painting everything red. So I always have this feeling that I'm always one step behind.
Okay.
Which for people who know me, it's really difficult because I'm always one step ahead. But when it comes to production, and it's really tough, really difficult.
And there's something not really totally within your control.
You can't.
Right.
You know, and it's a different, like, for example, with advertising, you know, you can go out, take a photo, and as long as you're on time with the newspaper, you'll manage. But now I'm relying on manufacturers in India, local manufacturers who, if it doesn't work or it's raining too much, you'll just say, well, I'm not delivering, and then you have a problem.
Hmm. Okay, in the last 10 years, though, you know, what has been fulfilling for you? What have been some of the highlights for you?
Well, Thailand is, I think, the biggest achievement. I'm extremely proud. We opened 10 shops in a time span of 7 days. It was a collaboration that came to life in about 4 or 5 months, and it's selling, which is really, really amazing.
Yeah, and you know, I was just chatting with you earlier, and when you look at Thailand and when I look at ASEAN, they're very supportive of creativity, and they have a lot of creativity within their own country. So I think it bears testimony to the Malaysian brand.
That's when we launched. Of course, you have nightmares. You think, you know, I'm launching 10 shops.
Mm.
I've changed my whole way of working. My business formula has changed to basically help them. And you just pray that it will sell. And it did, which is really, really incredible because they are super creative. Everywhere you look, you see beautiful things.
Mm.
And you really wonder, you know, why would they need another brand
right.
than a Malaysian brand? You know, why...
Okay.
Yeah, why would be appealed by it?
What's different about the Malaysian consumer and the Thai consumer?
That's a really good question. Nobody's asked me that. I think the Thai consumer, I think they're quite similar. You know, they like pretty things. And it's the same feedback I get locally and in Europe, is that it makes people happy.
Mm-hmm.
So the spending power is maybe a little bit higher.
In Thailand?
In Thailand, even though our collection there is a little bit cheaper
okay.
than Malaysia. So for all the Malaysians, if you want to have a little bit of a discount, you should go to Thailand.
Mm.
But they just like pretty things. I think they're quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Thai customers are a little bit older than Malaysia, but we want to target the same younger crowd. So, yeah, I don't see much difference. Of course, in Thailand, we have a lot more tourists, which we don't have here. So
right.
there's no... Tourists, for one reason or another, are not interested in Nala, which is really funny because I set it up for tourists as,
right.
you know, the Malaysian brand to take home. But they just walk right past it because I don't have elephants and wows and stuff like that on my prints.
Maybe the next collection.
Yeah.
I'm here with Lizette Shears from Nala Designs. We'll talk more about how she's got into Europe and other places as well. And the 10th anniversary right after this. You're listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Bulldozing fine measures. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Enterprise. Good morning, Frida Liu here. I'm with Lizette Shears from Anala Designs, and we're talking about her 10th anniversary. And of course, her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Now, 10 years on, you'll be celebrating it this year. What are you going to do for this 10th anniversary celebration?
I'm going to publish a pattern book with all the patterns we've been doing for the past 10 years, plus my favorite recipes, where I buy my secondhand stuff, my vintage stuff. So the best flea markets, for example, in Belgium, that's the best one I find, or Paris, and anecdote, everything. So basically how I ended up in Malaysia,
right?
Because a lot of people don't realize that I was born and raised here, or born in Singapore, raised in Malaysia. So it really truly is a Malaysian. You hungry?
Yes.
It truly is a Malaysian brand.
Right.
And it's an archive, of course, because I'm worried that, you know, we throw everything away and before you know it, I'll forget. So it will be for that. Yeah, it'll be a big, big, fat 350-page coffee table book.
Right. You know, so in terms of coming up with your designs as well, are they words to describe it? I mean, and how what is the creative process for you?
Well, I mean, I think I've mentioned it many times. There's just so much beauty in Malaysia, and everywhere you look, there's something, there's a concept, or there's something that I'd like to make it, you know, permanent, so that people don't forget. So the next collection that's coming is called Jalan Jalan in the Park, which is inspired by Lake Gardens and House of Parliament. So I deconstructed our Parliament House and put it back together again in a beautiful dress, and all the flowering trees in the Lake Gardens. So, as you know, the Lake Gardens is very big, so I'll target on flowering trees only,
right.
And then, you know, I can spend another 5 years in Lake Gardens with the shrubs, then the creepers, then the herbs. So it's just endless. And I think it just always has to have a concept and be interesting. And that's the base of everything that I do. So I'll never just do something that's pretty. It's got to be with a theme.
With a theme.
No matter what.
And it's so interesting, right? You talk about the herbs and the shrubs and all that. And it's in our backyard. And sometimes we forget that.
Exactly.
We forget the beauty that we have in our own backyard, literally.
Exactly. And especially now with the next collection, I named all the patterns with the original name. So you have, for example, Heaven Lotus or the Cannonball Tree. And we don't grow up knowing those names, or Wild Cinnamon. So that's really cool, because most of my regular clients or my loyal customers, they know all the patterns by heart,
right?
The names, which means they will all know the flowering tree names by heart as well. So I think that's really important, that it always has something educational and that you learn something from my collections as well.
Right. So tell me about your breakthrough into Europe and Japan.
Yeah. The Japanese, so Thailand is a franchise. The Japanese have contacted me as well, so they're interested in opening a franchise. So we're working on that. They all want it quick, but I suspect that we'll probably launch for the winter.
Right.
Then Singapore will be a bit faster, so we're going to probably launch there in the next few months. Yeah, we're working on that. So those are the next two markets that we'll enter.
So in Singapore, it won't be a standalone shop. You'll be working with somebody?
Yes. Yeah, we're working with somebody. They've approached us, and
it's looking
Japan
good.
Is the same.
Yeah. Okay. And in Europe, where are you available?
Well, Europe, we sell in about 20 shops. So we're in Paris, 4 shops in Paris. And then throughout France, we have a couple of shops. We're in Milan, Madrid, Switzerland. But those are all shop in shops.
Right.
And that's doing well, even though winter a little bit less, of course, because the French, or not the French, the Europeans perceive bright colors as spring, summer.
Right.
And the Japanese don't, which is really interesting. So Japanese look at material and French don't. French look at color.
Okay.
So even though it's wool, it can be really hot. If it's bright pink, then it's summer.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's
not. Oh,
okay.
Weird, right?
So color is summer. So if it's bright, so they perceive. And the Asian or the Japanese market in particular, they just look at the fabric. So even though it's bright pink and bright red, if it's wool, it's winter. So you never have that discussions. And in Europe, if you don't have a burgundy, a dark green, a dark blue, they walk right past it.
It's so weird. I guess
it's very, very interesting. They have completely different perceptions of the market.
Okay, because I think I'll think like a Japanese. So I don't care. I love the
All
bright
Asians
colors,
do.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do too. And it's it was interesting because I had to cater to both. So I've now also decided to focus on Asia because of Thailand. So I won't be doing winter collections anymore per se.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be replacing the wool garments and skirts with more evening wear. So
okay.
In that sense, I will also be able to cater to Europe and Asia at the
and
same time.
There's so much you've learned in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know nothing. I didn't even know the word. So You know, I'd go to India. It's like, yeah, can you change the middle of the shirt, make it a bit wider? Oh, and rivet. I mean, all these old terms. I know nothing. So no. Completely faking it. And it's, I just have no clue. I have no clue. Okay. You know, I didn't study fashion. I don't even know. It's like, yeah, this fabric's great. Let's just do it for the next 10 years. Let's just stick to that. But of course, now I've got the right people. I've hired fashion designers, merchandisers. So everything's changed. I'm catching up.
Okay. And there's just a lot to learn and more. Tell me about the Chinese New Year collection.
Yeah, super cool. So we made a small limited edition collection. We got the fabrics printed in India.
Mm-hmm.
You can custom order online or in the shop. So it's just 4 prints. And because of our anniversary, I brought 2 prints back. One Willow Birds, that was everyone's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And Paper Petals, which was one of the best-selling pillowcases, so they're now in the collection.
Okay, yeah, that's the Chinese New Year collection. So after Chinese New Year, you'll be busy traveling again?
Yeah, I'll probably be going to Thailand, doing a few workshops there.
Mm-hmm.
The objective is to probably open more shops, but we'll see how that goes. We're also working on launching a few, 2 new brands.
Mm.
So you have to stay tuned for that.
Watch this space.
Yeah, this space. It's going to be super cool. I'm very, very excited. And then...
Of course, Raya is just around the corner.
Yeah, I know. I have sleepless nights, but we just paint everything green and then it's Raya. So, and we'll also be opening we're permanent in Bangsa Village, but we'll be opening a real shop with real fit outs end of March. So it's a big renovation going to happen. And it's going to be a really cool year. Yeah.
All right. It's a busy, busy, busy
Very
year.
Busy, yeah.
I'm sure we'll have many stories when we talk about your 20th anniversary.
Yeah, cool. Exactly.
Thanks for being with us. I've been speaking to Elizabeth Shears from Nala Designs. You've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.